Okay, welcome everybody to the first of a series over the next few months of the Budget Scrutiny Panel. Thank you everyone for attending. Thank you for the lead member for attending and the officers. Much appreciated. I will start by reading the usual pre-meeting sort of declaration. So if you'll excuse me, this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Apologies. Do we have any apologies?
No.
None at all. Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests?
None.
Declarations of the party whip? None. Questions under Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.17. No questions were submitted. On to the meat of the meeting. The draft medium-term financial strategy 2020 to 2023. I don't know whether the lead member or the lead officer is leading the open part of that.
Well, I'm going to have to talk about it to begin with and then let the professionals come in.
Thank you very much, Councillor Barclay. Over to you.
Okay, well, if you've read through this report, you'll see that we do indeed face challenging times. We're going to use £2.8 million worth of reserves over the next 3 years. That's assuming that we make savings of about £2.1 million over the next 3 years. Now, the medium-term financial strategy is a guide document. It's not definitive. There's a lot of information we haven't got when this is prepared. And this assumes that no changes are made to no management action is taken. This is the scenario that we face. If you remember last year, we were predicting a deficit this year and in year three going into surplus, but times have changed. There are many uncertainties with surrounding new homes bonus. We know that Leslie will correct me if I'm wrong, but the 75% business rate trial, that has been ceased then.
Well, we understand that we are in a 75% business rate retention pilot this year. We understand that there are no such pilots next year.
So that's going to cost us a little bit of money. New homes bonus, we're very reliant on. £4 million is what we get. The other source of our income is very little from government grants, quite a bit from investments. We have got to make, even after all that I've just said, we will have a gap of £700,000 at the end of the year three. Now, fortunately, over the years, we have built up reserves and we can cope with it even if we did nothing. But we won't be doing nothing. We will be doing something because we won't be driving over the edge of a cliff and taking the council to Armageddon. There isn't... The report is self-explanatory. It is a sort of light of where we're going unless we take some action. The great political uncertainty in terms of whether we're coming out of Brexit, local government funding. At district level, the Fairer Funding Review is likely to be delayed until 2021. When it does come through, the reality of it is the majority of the money will probably go towards adult social care and child services at county level. There are a lot of there's a lot of other things that could impact on us. We have transformational changes to make. We have digitalisation to go through. There are many areas where we can save more money, but just be aware there are many heavy caveats within this medium-term financial strategy, but I believe that it is, with the information we have at the moment, as accurate as it can be. And the budget will be developed out of this and we will be working to change things over the next 3 years. And as I say, the fortunate thing is that we have got the finances to be able to sustain a period of change over the next 3 years. I don't know whether Leslie wants to add anything else to it.
No, but I think that summarises.
Yeah.
Unless there are any questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are probably one or two other comments I might have, but I think it's important that I'm virtually certain we'll cover those in the questions, because no doubt there are quite a few.
True. I mean, I just want to give a broad brush approach of where we're going, the absolute bottom line, harsh reality of where we are. There's other things like, what can we do to make things better? You know, we invest in property bonds, we're looking at commercialisation. We are limited by what we can do with council tax, so we can raise it by 2%, bearing in mind the CPI is running at 2.1%, that does little more than cover inflationary pressures on the council. The other issue that we're going to face is pressures which we're discouraging, given from services and also savings, but that's where we are. And we will act to correct it, because we don't have a choice. But any ideas on to help would be much appreciated. But given the constraints that we have, limited what we can do in terms of taxation, because we have been limited in that way, the only way we can help ourselves is either reduce costs, increase income. And the majority of our costs are staff costs. We want to maintain frontline services, we want to maintain excellent services to the borough, but we are evolving, and as generations move on, the need for council, I would say another 10 years, is very unlikely that council will be delivered in the way it is now. We are almost trailblazing that change now to save money.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Barclay. What I might do, if members are happy, is I'd like to just add a little bit just contextually as I perceive the world to help members. And then I'm very happy if members want to add a short piece contextually just to set things off. And then I'm happy to ask you how you'd like to tackle this. I'm very happy to go through the MTFS page by page, giving people the opportunity to comment as we turn the pages through the natural flow of the document. That seems to me one of the easiest ways to tackle specific questions. I'm sure that I can see you have a variety of notes, as I do, a whole raft of pages, and I sense it might be good to deal with it page by page and take the issues as we go. But I've happily given members the opportunity to set a bit of context around the start of discussion from different perspectives. From my own perspective, I would just comment that it seems to me, from the role of this group, there is a lot happening in the financial world of our council. We have a new capital plan being drawn up for 2020 to 2023, which we might see a draft in December. We've had an investment strategy, which I think included in the comments the formation of a £10 million fund, went to Cabinet very recently. Mm-hmm. It didn't get called in by the Scrutiny Commission, but that document I think is pivotal. We had the pulling together of a number of pieces of work, which became slightly academic, but it wasn't quite as academic as at times presented. There were some fundamental changes in philosophy in the pulling together of the Treasury strategy document, which I can't remember the month that came to us, a number of months ago, 6 months ago.
It's been set annually in March. The council nearest to the end of March to be extant from the 1st of April, so would be 6 months old. Yeah.
So my observation is there is a lot happening in order to create a new environment for which we manage and go forward with our finances, in order, if I trace what I think Councillor Barclay would say, and I don't want to steal his words, would be the starting point of trying to maintain the frontline service provision that we currently have, but then have to we have to scrutinise the finding of the money to keep that going, I think is the role. So that would just be me context setting slightly. Happy to hear if there are any observations from other members before we start sort of more detailed page by page and working through. So I don't know if either Councillor Mill or Councillor Baldwin want to comment at this point.
Yeah. Chair, if I may, I mean, if it's taken as read that the report has been read by all committee members, I'm happy to answer any questions on 43 pages. Yeah. I mean, I think it is counterproductive going through it page by page.
Well, I just think it's the way the questions are set. I've got questions marked on certain pages on each page.
Go through, but I mean, I don't want to read the report.
No, I don't think that's
really
the intention.
You know, they should have read it.
Yeah, I think members have. I think the intention is just to pick
I've given a lot of information, which, you know, this is a non-political arena, and what I'm trying to do is, you know, when we're doing scrutiny, is add value. I don't want it to be returned at me at a later date. This is factual.
So, members, are we happy just to roll through? I am happy to go through page by page, because I know my questions are all marked on the page numbers that I've got through.
Yeah.
So, anything on page one? Or is page... On the first page of the report.
Page 9.
As you call it, marked.
I have, Chair, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. I just wanted to touch upon some of the use of money here. And it's saying that in 2020-21, so next financial year, we will use 1.1 million from reserves. But that's assuming that we make £500,000 of transformation and efficiency savings. So technically it's 1.6 million subject to those efficiency savings. Is it the £500,000 that we've budgeted for? And is that the £500,000 that we've asked, there's an exception notice sent out this week, that we're going to set aside £220,000 to start that transformation programme? Is that the same thing, or am I reading two different things and putting it?
Sorry, I've got page. Sorry.
On our papers, page 9.
Yeah,
it's page 4,
page
summary.
4 of 38 or page 9.
Yeah.
So it says in summary, you will
use. That's what I've got. Yeah.
So we use 1.1 million in reserves and above that. That's assuming that we. 0.5.
Yes.
So we're going to look to save 0.5. So it will be 1.1 million. Because if we're going to say we're using 1.6 million, that completely skews it. We are committing. To make those saves.
No, I understand that, but is that the 220,000 that we've got the exception notice
for? No, it isn't. That's
to start off.
No, that's a grant we had, transformation, that's nothing to do with it at all. There's a pot of money, 220,000, which is going to be used to kick off the transformation change. There's nothing to do with this. This is a grant we applied for and got.
Yeah, it is new. So we are in the 75% business rate pilot, which will generate based, and it obviously depends on how much business rates we do actually collect, but the projections are we'll get £480,000 from that. And the way that the pilot bid works and what we've sort of committed to is £260,000 to support infrastructure, so public realms, so some of the projects within Loughborough actually are earmarked for that. £220,000, which is under a badge of financial sustainability. So, it isn't anything. It isn't a number that's in here at all. But the idea is it is to support our transformation exercises. So that.
So that was my question.
So it is. I mean, in actual fact, the £500,000 or £467,000, which is on page 34, actually, but that the bulk of that is. Mm-hmm. 300,000 sort of what's described as continuous improvement, and the way that we're planning to address that or to look at that actually through the sort of budget process and budget working papers, and asking heads of service to find that amount based on the sort of our record of underspending. So that's where the most of next year's money will come from. The 220,000, you know, the if you look at the future years transformation and efficiency, it gets more challenging then. We've talked about commercialisation, so this gives us a pot of money to assist us with our transformation, commercialisation, and maybe other things that we're interested in developing. So that's what that's about.
It is undoubtedly challenging, and I can't help but be cognizant of the Commissioner of the Scrutiny CSS meeting last week, where the first quarter outturn came to us, and the 300,000, which was a policy change last year of underspend, was built into the budget. The first quarter outturn showed no saving at that point, no underspend. Now the forecast is that will be achieved, but the quarter one outturn still had the same figure in there, so I can't avoid that. We have work to do, I have no doubts, and therefore we have to keep a very beady eye on those outturn figures. We see them at CSS, and we need to be very cognizant and very on top of those figures to make sure that we're tracking through the savings and the underspend that we should do in the appropriate way. So any questions on, and I have to go, I've got two separate pages, so excuse me, page 10 or 11.
Okay. Well, can I ask a question on the officer? As we're in the introduction part of it, we were at the county hall earlier today and we had a presentation given to us, and on it had that the financial assessment this year, we're looking at 4.1% for local authorities, but for Leicestershire, because it was a bit more generous, they're going to get a 4.3% uplift on funding. So if we assume we're going to get 4.1%, has that been confirmed?
No.
The 4.1% is sort of local government overall.
Okay.
So I think it's a DEL. I think they call it a DEL delegated, and that's for the communities and local government. How that's divvied. I mean, the key thing for us is how that's going to be divvied up. What we've got. I think from hesitate to call it gossip, but from what I've heard and what I would expect is that most of that would be directed towards adult social care, children's services, as Councillor Barton said in the introduction, that's where it's likely to go. So the settlement for districts, until we get a number who knows this year, but usually we get it in the autumn statement, which is usually about the 23rd of December being autumn for the way Barton works.
Okay, no, that's fine, thank you. Just wanted confirmation on that level. Thank you very much.
Anything from 14 and 15 before we start to get into the meat of the figures?
I just wanted to ask Chair through yourself, is just about the 1.99%, or let's call it 2% increase. So this council tax, MTFS, is forecasting 2% for the next 3 years of its life cycle. We've seen in the introduction that we're actually going to be short by about £4 million, £1.9 million efficiency.
No, we're not short. We've got £2.8 million worth of reserves, which we're using. All right, and we're going to make savings of 2.1 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah, so just over £4.5 million, or £4.5 million worth of, if we stood still and we didn't borrow from reserves, or we didn't do the efficiency savings.
We're not borrowing from reserves. These are reserves that we have built up to meet these times. We're not borrowing. Now, if we were in a position where we had no reserves, we wouldn't be able to do this. Let's be honest, we have over the years a history of accumulating reserves for this very scenario, and that's why we've done it.
No, that's that thing, Councillor Barclay. So if we were to stand still and not borrow from reserve, and that we will be short by just over £4 million.
But we're not borrowing from reserves. These are reserves which we have built specifically. This is money which we have built up. Okay. We're not borrowing it.
I'll rephrase. Money that we will use from reserves.
Yeah.
So money we will use from reserves.
Correct. Yeah.
So actually 2% each year, so if we didn't borrow, if we didn't use the money from reserves, or we didn't have those reserves, that 2% increase wouldn't be sufficient for us to deliver our programme, our budgets. Has there any thought gone into it actually going out to the public and saying actually to run your services the way you want it, to be able to deliver the services that you want, we're either going to have to increase costs or find other means of income, or we're going to have to charge you a little bit more council tax. Has any thought come
into that? Lot of thought's gone into that. Actually, we need a referendum, and the cost of the referendum will probably outweigh the benefit we'd get. The government has capped us at that. I think what we've got to do is face reality, and actually we cannot keep going back to the public saying, well, actually we're still short. We've got to do something to transform this council, to bring it within, even at the end of 3 years, we have £3 million worth of working balances, which means we could go on for another year, but we have got to take the next 3 years to grasp the nettle and do something, transform it, commercialise it, reduce costs, increase income, so that that 700,000 cap is closed within 3 years.
Okay, Chair, 3 years. I think I wasn't referring to a referendum, I was just referring to actually, could we make representation to our local government minister to say actually, or our MP as well, that districts need as much funding, because counties did, and they've got more social care precept, for example. And I think we're getting to a stage now where we have to make that representation as a council, say actually 2% or a cap of 2% isn't sufficient for us to deliver on our services.
At the end of the day, I think Cabinet would have to do that. Cabinet would have to decide to make that decision. I think you and us, if we chose, are perfectly at liberty to request it of Cabinet, but I think the Cabinet would have to make that decision. If they wish to send a letter officially from the council via Cabinet, I think individual councillors could certainly make.
I think the Local Government Association is very aware that district councils are under pressure and actually making representations to the ministers.
Maybe if I could just comment on that. So the District Councils Network, which represents districts, I think they have a will make representations. So there is a sort of district council trade body. It's no more than, again, rumour or speculation, but I think something that is plausible is that the capping limit on district councils could be relaxed, given it would be something like a 2% or £12. So I think the police, the PCC, I think were allowed to raise council tax by £12. Now, clearly that would be a political decision, but obviously if we were to raise council tax by £12, then that we would have to do that over 2 or 3 years, and that would be a major benefit for us. And if you actually look at the council tax numbers, which I do, if we were somehow allowed to move from where we are, which is sort of the bottom decile, into a sort of an average position, that would be worth
a couple of million pounds
a year, and that would help us enormously. But that is pure speculation at the moment. But I think where government is, and if they want to sort of throw a bone to district councils not being generous in the settlement, that could be a way that they might do that.
Not being disingenuous to anybody, Chair, 3 years. I think Simon Jackson's right there, is that we cap it usually at £5. Let's talk monetary figures. We cap it at £5 a year. If somebody asked me to pay £10 a year, I don't think that would break the budget for my own household, as they say. But that would be obviously over the 2%. And I think we are getting to that stage where actually we are only increasing council tax, the Charnwood precept of it, by about £5 a year. And we probably need to think increasing a little bit more. Not saying it should be £10, £15, £20, but if we were to increase it by, say, £7, that would be an extra income, and cumulative over a 3-year NTFS programme is substantial. As a contrast, we've increased our brown bin charges, for example, from £17 to £40, as an example, and that's a massive percentage increase. And we're allowed to do that because there's no cap and all the rest of it. And we have to think of ways of funding good, decent local services without having to drastically use our reserves, which Councillor Barclay is right, he's built up to use that, or cut services, or redesign services. And I think we've got a good thing going here in Charnwood, and we should look at sustaining building on it rather than cutting back.
It will be Cabinet's decision. I think that part of the comments at the beginning is to set the context. I think there is a lot going on to change the nature of the view the council has to the overall financing of the budgets. And I sense there's more happening than in previous years now. It's our job to question that and to look at that. I think individually, there's no issue in taking something to Cabinet and asking if they wanted to do that request, but I think that decision making would lie very firmly with Cabinet.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Chair, I think the District Council Network, and I would be delighted, but unfortunately the Government doesn't always listen to me, and the Minister for Local Government will have his own agenda, and there is a finite amount of money can be made available, and given the pressures that are coming on adult social services, child services, that will be a priority. And as the Director of Strategic Services has said, certainly I think that we don't know what the final settlement is going to be this year. It may be that they do it, and certainly through our offices we will, through the District Council network, lobby to try and get it, because it would solve all our problems. But life is never that easy, and we've got to face reality. We've got to assume that it isn't coming down the line. Every district council in the country, and many councils, are facing this sort of scenario and have no reserves. Northamptonshire have real problems, but we fortunately are in a position, and really what I'm saying to the budget scrutiny panel is that I'm very aware of where we're going. I know what the options are: either increase the income, reduce the outgoings. I know that if we could increase taxation on the people, that would solve a problem. But we've got to assume that we are where we are. We've been aware of this for many years now. We've gone back many years. We are now coming to a stage where we've got to do something, and we are making efforts to do it. Realistically, that's where we are. I think you summarised it, Chair.
Any more? Page 18 and 19. My questions start on the next one. So any more on 18 and 19? Yes.
Councillor Bolton, in the second paragraph, you talk about...
On which
about,
page?
I'm sorry, page 18.
Page 18, second paragraph, the actual amount of council tax.
Yes.
Yep.
You talk about the tax base is expected to increase by 1.9%. How many properties does that equate to?
We have around 78,000 to 80,000 properties, which equate to about 56,000 Band D equivalent. So
there is a table on the next, on 79, that indicates where the number of properties that the new homes bonus applies to. Sorry, I'm saying page 79 on the wrong set of notes.
Yeah, you have to be
In our notes, I think it's on page 22.
But I'm not sure that those necessarily...
It doesn't necessarily relate, but it's an indication of the number of properties linked to the new homes bonus being built.
So 2% would be probably about on that. Everything gets converted to Band D equivalents, the way the financial calculations work, but it's sort of 2% of, if you sort of ignore that, it's 2% of 79,000, so sort of 1,700 properties a year is what that equates to. And I think if you were to drive around the borough and see the developments that's happening, then that sort of works. I think if you were to drive around the borough, I think they're around the sort of local settings and not necessarily in the SUEs at the moment, but that's another story.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is because that seems quite low to me, because if you do drive around the borough, there's development everywhere.
Mm.
And certainly down the road from where I live, there's masses of development.
Well...
So, but I believe the figures.
We've done a lot of work, or Neil and Leslie's team's done particularly a lot of work looking at what comes on the council tax register. So there is
the timing issue of when it actually does appear on the council, so when they're actually complete, which phase they're going to be complete, which when they're actually adding on to that register.
I have a related question in two pages' time, so. Any more 18 and 19? Page 20. I have a question, if you will indulge me. For a number of years, we've seen this issue around the longer tail of potential settlements that we might face. If that crystallised, what might that look like in terms of scale, in terms of rate appeals? And how exposed are we to that? Because I've seen the same sort of wording in the same paragraph over a number of years without having a sense of how that could crystallise, because I'm not aware of a scale that crystallises at each year, or a point at which all of it could crystallise. and therefore what risk that bears on the budget. Because if it all crystallised and was £1 million, we probably would be fine. If it all crystallised and was £100 million, we'd be very, very nervous. And I'm just trying to get a figure and a sense of where that might be.
Well, I'm desperately trying to remember the numbers here. So we hold very substantial provisions against business rate appeals. So we've got this, the provision is in two parts. I apologise, this gets quite technical and ugly, but we've got a provision against the 2010 valuation lists. So that's now closed, so you cannot now appeal a 2010 valuation. We've got about 1.5 million provision against that. If you want, I can check those.
We've got
the numbers. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. It's very substantial. But the list of the total appeals in gross terms is probably 10 or 20 million. But of course, when businesses make that appeal, there's obviously a percentage which are successful. And then if they are successful, it would be highly unusual for them to get a sort of 100% relief. Usually, it's sort of like 5 or 10%. So we've actually got. We've actually got quite a decent amount of knowledge on that, so we know what sort of types of property are coming, what types of property, what the history of appeals is, and that element of the provision comes down every year.
So can I just get clear? So the scale of liability where it ought to crystallise might be 10 million, 20 million, but the 1.5 million that we have tucked away is a very realistic.
Yes.
Assessment of the 5 to 10% type settlement that we're likely to face.
Yes, so it's
fine to go against.
Yes, I know. I wouldn't necessarily absolutely guarantee anything with my sort of house on the line, no. We've looked at this in quite a lot. We've got quite a lot of detail on the 2010 list.
And the next list is the next.
It's not quite such a exact story. So the 2017 list. There is actually very, very little history of appeals, and what's happening on the ground actually is that the Valuation Office have actually done. There are actually very few 2017 lists being settled, so we've got very, very little knowledge of this. So Claire Hodgson, who's sort of Leslie's predecessor, she went to a County Council's network event where the government told us that within the multiplier, so when you do calculate business rates, there's a rateable value, and then broadly businesses will pay about 49 pence in the pound on that. They told us that I think tuppence within that multiplier was to reflect the fact that a future appeal. So our provision, which is quite substantial, I think we're now on the third year of this, is just based on 2% multiplier. So again, my instinct actually is that's probably an over provision, but we've got absolutely no other knowledge to work with. So as and when until the Valuation Office start to with the appeals that have come through, and we start to get a bit of history about it.
My question to that is that actual real cash provision, which therefore is tucked away somewhere in the 30 to 50 million of treasury money that sits there, or is that tucked away in another reserve that's just sitting there doing a bit of work for us?
Would you like to explain collection from the county now, Leslie?
No, we do.
I'm just trying to assess the risk and what we're doing with that.
As part of our year-end accounting, we assess the lists, and we obviously make a provision in our accounts, which obviously gets audited as part of our year-end accounts, and then we obviously that provision is sitting in our accounts in the event of these appeals coming forward, so we've got that money set aside.
Is it listed and included when we look at the big treasury piece of work, or is it?
It's in the statement of accounts.
It's strictly speaking, it's a provision rather than
provision
cash. So it's reflected. So if it's reflected within sort of collection fund basically through the collection fund and the bad debt, so it depends how the accounting's quite complicated, but in terms of assets and debtors, we have taken account, and hopefully what will happen is that we will find that we've over-provided against 2017, which will then unwind and will be, that will release some budget, but there's, you know, I have to say that's, even if the, I have to say that's probably 2 or 3 years down the track until we've actually got the level of knowledge that would give us the confidence to start to do that.
Further down on that page, with regard to the impact of the pilot was not reflected in the budget, the £450,000 that's referenced in there for the 19-20 financial year, is that not in the current budget at all that we've been looking at? So that's a pure, almost a windfall.
Yes.
£450,000, which will drop in. So if I were a cautious fellow, I'd think, gosh, that's the £300,000 underspend saving made straight away, because the £450,000 is going to drop straight in. How do I feel and handle that in regard to the budget and then looking forward from that? Because from what you've said, it's not going to be there next year. It's not going to be a pilot next year.
So this is a one-off, and the Leicestershire pilot bid, within that we basically set out how we would spend this windfall money to the extent it's being generated, and it sort of gets generated by the nature of the calculations, which differ from the standard business rate retention scheme. So we've essentially so there's 220,000, which is sort of used to, which is sort of financial sustainability. So we've said that we'll use that in sort of invest, save, general fund type activities, and then the balance will be to do public realm work. Now, the reality, you can argue that we would have probably done those activities anyway around that we would have invested in transformation anyway, and we would have done public realm projects that are earmarked, I think, around Bedford Square is the actual one we've said we'll do. So we can argue that it is a bonus and it will impact on reserves, but it's not something that's going to feed through into our budget, and it won't be something that will feed through into the outturn report, so it certainly won't be presented as something that's going to address the 300,000.
I think it's because it's one off, it's just a pot of money that we need to use carefully to perhaps generate some further income down the line as on an ongoing basis.
Okay. Finally, on that page, I don't understand the final sentence with regard to the adjustments for empty property costs. I'm presuming that that's a cost to us, hence the 2021 projected local share of business rates goes down at that point and then builds, presumably, against the growth factor and the CPI, etc., that's there. But I don't quite understand what is the empty property cost of £500,000 to us.
So, some businesses that were shut down. Is where not necessarily shut down, where they move as well, or where they vacate buildings and they're allowed a relief against that if they're not occupying those. So we collect business rates on which we sort of pay over most of the government, some we pay to the county and some we keep, and then in addition some of the reliefs that businesses get offered, such as small business relief and some of the transition reliefs, we are compensated for those reliefs through Sector 31 grants, whereas some others we aren't. So they're the empty property ones. So that's the reference to empty property relief. They are reliefs that we are basically required to give.
Is it ongoing, or why does it only kick in 2020-21?
It's because we've had a very, very detailed look at, so we've done a very detailed exercise looking at business rates, because trying to get a handle of it, and because of the increasing complexity, and what we've looked at it, and what we've discovered this year within the 131 lines of the business rate return we do to government, we've actually seen quite a significant uptick in empty property reliefs that we've been giving out. I think that sort of probably reflects economic conditions. 3M actually moved, which was sort of fine. So they moved from the development there to the campus. That's sort of fine. probably some of the large manufacturing businesses next to the
given that we've done this detailed work, would we consider that adjustment a conservative adjustment, as in we think it's safe and it's the right amount, or are we bang on, it's an exact side. Where is that?
I think that
cautious.
Was in line with the outturn. I think we had an expert in from SEPFA that deals with the MDR3 return. So she actually went through these 100 lines that met down to this figure, and went through the detail that obviously this was an area that we don't get the relief back on, and that has had a sort of an impact of $500,000 last year, and this is where we've identified it as a risk in the figures for this year. We are monitoring this very closely now as part of our budget monitoring process, sort of just for the MDR return, because it's become a huge return. So you set the budget 18 months in advance of it happening, and then when we come to do the outturn, as I say, all the lines can change quite quickly. So we do need to sort of scrutinise it on a regular basis.
I come back to my question. Our sense is that that's a prudent, cautious amount we've put away, or are we still perhaps at some risk in that line?
Well, I think generally, in putting this document together, what we've tried to do is make reasonable estimates of what is going to happen. So they're not, in other circumstances, then some accountant's prudence or additional prudence may have been applied on many of these numbers. If that approach had been adopted, which in other circumstances in my view might have been appropriate but not this one, that would have produced a number in the MTFS that would have looked like Armageddon, which I don't think would have been a true reflection or a fair reflection of where the council is. So the 500,000 does represent is real. It does represent a line in the in our return, which in turn reflects what we think is happening on the ground. But that's not to say there's no further downside. A lot of this, of course, is based on business confidence, and you know, you can walk around the high street and see what voids we've got. I think, you know, if I walk around Loughborough,
it's an area of risk.
It's an
we
area
just need to keep an eye on that and be aware of it. So that's what I'm just trying to ascertain. It's not something we can pass. We've dealt with it, put it away.
No.
We need to keep an ongoing view.
Absolutely. And as I say, Neil, council tax in this area, Neil, unless his team does a lot of work on this, okay. And this is every month, every quarter, we go through this in quite a lot of detail.
I just wondered if this growth factor of 3% is realistic. I get that it's based on 2% plus 1, but looking at the figures and the numbers of shops closing down in the first 6 months of the year, it's unbelievably high at the moment. And this is the transition from to online and all the rest of it. To what extent is this A, compatible with what other councils are doing? And B, to what extent does it reflect the number of actual shops closing down in Loughborough and Charlton in general?
This number comes from, so we have financial consultants who look at the national trends, and 3% is a number they actually suggest. So that's, it doesn't seem outrageously unrealistic. I mean, that's been modified by some of this, by the empty properties. So, and I suppose the other observation I've got is that retail is having obviously a very tough time. So retail, restaurants and pubs, there are other businesses where things are sort of much more successful, so they're maybe less visible, but the sort of logistics warehousing stuff is growing, and that is more successful office space. So retail obviously has a visibility, so we don't think that's unrealistic, but I think it probably comes down to we need to keep monitoring
it
all the time.
I think I can just add, when we put the final MTFS together, because we are detail monitoring this budget line, we will look at this again, and any check, the 500,000, is that, you know, looking like it's going to happen. But we're just basing it on sort of what happened last year and the fact that it is building up again, really.
What rate did we apply last year?
Sorry?
What growth rate did we apply last year?
I think it was similar. I think it's a similar sort of growth rate. We took the same advice, and I believe we used a similar number. I wouldn't swear to that. And actually, that in terms of how that actually turned out, that was sort of not necessarily unreasonable. I think overall, I think we had some ups and downs. Quite frankly, we had some ups and downs in the business rate. So overall, we were up. But I think the fact that we were showing quite a lot of volatility between the different lines, between Section 31 grants and some of the other things we were finding, such as empty homes, empty properties, rather within the detail of the numbers. That's what decided us to take a very reasonable detailed look at it. But I think you're quite right. At the end of the day, these are all assumptions, and we take advice and we have a look at it, but there's no guarantee that we're obviously correct.
Any more on pages 20 or 21? Page 22, again, I have a question, if other members have any.
Not on this one.
Just on page 22, I always have trouble, and I just need, again, a one line of explanation, if I can, as to why the new homes bonus numbers. I get the idea behind a lag, but I don't get the idea or understand why the figures don't more closely resemble the actual build, stroke head nurse, stroke... five-year supply. I just need that clarifying again, please, if you will.
So actually, Cabinet asked this. There's two elements to this. So one is the actual number of houses coming through on the register isn't quite as high as what's suggested in the housing completion estimates. Our estimates are based on what's coming through on the council tax register. But the other thing, the key difference actually is the what the government called dead weight. So in calculating our new homes bonus, or in working that out, they assume we would get 0.4% growth anyway. So the numbers for new homes bonus, you would get an approximate number of houses, you need to add around 300 to that. So we've broadly got about 600, 700, 800 in here. So actually that equates to 1,100 houses coming through in new homes bonus. But the government takes this 0.4% dead weight off, which is why the discrepancy looks much larger than it actually is on the ground.
Through you, Chairman, that's the very question we asked in Cabinet last week.
So clearly, I'll take that on board as a bit of the MTFS that needs maybe more explanation. And
any more on 22 or 23 that members want to ask? Okay. 24, 25, 26 and 27. I again just have a highlight stroke question on page 27.
Same here, everyone,
yeah,
on 27.
Lovely.
Shall I?
Yeah,
okay. Just on garden waste collections first, if you don't mind, Chair. 1.46 million, substantial income. But I was reading just this week regarding an LGA article that the government are looking to review green waste collection with a view to making them free for residents. And obviously, if it is free, I'm not saying that they won't subsidise for it, it would have a substantial impact on our budgets. So just any thoughts, has the lead member been made aware of that or officers?
Yeah, I'm very aware of that, and I think it's becoming national policy. Not only that, they're also looking at food collections. They're consulting with the LGA and the District Council Network. This is something which would affect every council, and yes, it would have a substantial impact. The theory behind it is that they will compensate us for any scheme which is introduced. The real risk is that they will compensate us in 2019 and then never ever raise the amount again. I think as there are various costs that have been passed down, that is the risk, but it is a real risk, but it's not is not one that's been ignored. I'm very well aware of it, and you're right, it would have a massive impact. But until we get clarification from the government as to exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to compensate, it's unfair. You're really highlighting a lot of issues which, you're right, that is why it is so difficult to put together an MTFS, because it isn't all, we can only make estimates, we don't know what the settlement this is yet, we don't know whether government policy, we can produce this MTFS, and if they change something dramatic, probably one of the biggest risks that's been highlighted is if they decide to abolish new homes bonus, never mind this, that's 4 million.
Our job is to understand and recognise that risk and to make sure we're challenging your cabinet and yourselves, in terms of
course. I mean, it's like business rates, planning to home. Things that we're aware of, very aware of. I'm absolutely right. If you come across something, that's where it probably helps me. If you did come across something that I was unaware of, I'd be very worried.
Just to add to that, I have actually spoken to the head of service on that one. The reason why that isn't reflected in the MTFS to risk is actually it's something that's not mooted until after the period of this MTFS. I can't remember the date, but I think it's sort of 2024, 2025 when the implementation is suggested at the moment, which is obviously beyond this MTFS. I think over the next year or two we can expect more clarity, and obviously as we get closer to that projected implementation date, then that's something we would need to reflect in here. And Councillor Barclay is correct, you know, the governments have said they would compensate us, but whether they would, you know, maybe they would compensate us for food waste and the cost of that, but not necessarily for the income we generate in garden waste collection. So that is a risk. It's you know, 4 or 5 years out, so maybe beyond the scope of this document, but
we need an awareness, because we won't be able to do that adjustment in a year. We need to be 3-4 years ahead of planning.
Yes, I think the government would probably understood that there's lots of contracts in place for refuse collection, and that authorities would need some period of adjustment.
Page 28.
Oh yes, on the transformation and efficiency plans. I understand that a set of sum has been set aside. I understand that we have to go through a process. I just wanted to know what this process was and how this efficiencies of £500,000 in this first year of this MTFN, what we're thinking of how we're going to look at the areas of where the efficiencies are going to be targeted. What's the thinking? Or has it not started yet? That would be.
If you look at 2021, there's some bits in that perspective. The bulk of the savings is going to be the 300,000. That's 300,000 out of 467. If you sort of look at page 34, and that's a sort of efficiency that we're trying to address with the budget working paper. So that's in progress, and there are other things, so there's so other bits and pieces in there which are either firm numbers, so there's a sort of 12,000 on the due from the online booking system, if you want. If you look at page 34, so there's 12,000 is pretty firm. There are other things which hopefully we might actually firm up for the next month or so, but there's a building control project, and whilst the numbers aren't firm, we are doing something on that. So for next year, I guess what I'm saying is a lot of the things are in place. Following years, then it does get more challenging, and that's what I think we need to be, have a deeper, more rigorous look, and that's what we'll be looking to do. Obviously, we've had a change in chief executive, now we've got we inevitably had a sort of a little bit of a period of hiatus. I think now the new chief executive's come in. I was speaking to him just before I came down tonight, so I think transformation is something he'll definitely be looking to kick off and mobilise the council on. So I think over the next year we can definitely expect to see
a lot more in the terms of firmed up numbers. So this time next year, hopefully when I'm presenting this, the totals will be at least that big or bigger, and the elements within that plan will be firmer. So that's certainly that's where we will be looking to go.
And a final question, Chair, through you, is how are you going to keep councillors informed of that, of what the process is and what you're looking at to look?
I think, I suppose the short answer is I haven't got specifics. I think what will happen though is if there are significant service changes, I think they will come through Cabinet as part of the natural cycle, and they'll come through Cabinet and will give the opportunity to scrutinise those. And certainly, again, I don't think we'll see it this year, but if we are going to do significant service changes, so income, you know, which could be, or you know, income significant income generation projects, I think they will come through, and I would expect councils to have the opportunity to look at those on a, you know, as on a sort of individual and timely basis.
Okay. I think also tricky as it is, it's incumbent on us to make sure that we turn up sort of next year with this sheet of the same
to say
promised on a like for like basis. I'm very conscious. Members will be aware that I very regularly turn up with last year's papers for the same meeting on the same time, because it provides some interesting comparisons. And I think I'm delighted we've got a relatively small but perfectly well-formed budget scrutiny panel to hopefully stay with this. I'm slightly disappointed we didn't get any members who wanted to join the budget process and learn over a year or two, because I feel that we've got four people who are perhaps committed to that, but I wish we could have widened that slightly to bring other people in to make sure that we are eminently replaceable. But it's a difficult process, as we all know, the budget and joining the dots with what we audit at the end of the year and the various other places pieces of the budget appear, and how we as members piece it together. It provides us with a challenge. So I think we've got to also keep a beady eye. I know CSS has a role in the transformation oversight. We need to make sure at a very high level we're looking at the totality of that, and at the micro level we're able to go, well, here's another line that needs working on, we need to spend 6 months making sure that that's been done, or that's going to be done in the right way. But it's challenging, as you know from piecing it together, it's a difficult challenge.
If I can just add, this obviously it will form the basis of our budget working paper, so after tonight's meeting we're obviously preparing those papers to go out to our budget officers and heads of service. So the 300,000, we are we give them allowable budget, so we're looking at putting a percentage reduction in there for them to then go away and see what they can balance off, really. So we're not saying it's got to be on that line or whatever, but it's just really to give them the baseline that we're working to here.
Okay. Yeah, that's good, because we're pretty much 6 months through this current budget already. Yeah.
Well, it gives them time now as well to start looking and obviously talking to their own members.
Okay. Page 30. I have a very large question which is partly answered, and some work is obviously underway on that, if members will indulge. Obviously, I'm aware that an investment strategy, if I want to call it that, went to Cabinet. There is the basis for the creation of a £10 million investment fund, and I am presuming we're going to create that from our treasury reserve, as opposed to necessarily borrow that money. And then there's an investment strategy which will obviously follow on behind if that principle is adopted. I'd be interested just to I guess just hear from officer just to confirmation that that's the way that will work, and then through the various channels, either through audit where the treasury paper comes to, and also on this budget process, we just need to make sure that we're on top of that.
So Leslie will probably add to this, but when we look to finance significant assets, which again we've spoken about the financing of the fleet,
yeah.
So what we, I think Leslie had a long conversation, but what we probably look at is look at what our treasury situation was at a point in time. So if we've got the opportunity to borrow internally, which basically means use our existing cash rather than going out to the Public Works Loan Board, or alternatively, which is something that for was discussed, we can actually borrow cheaper than Public Works loan board money from other local authorities. We lend to other local authorities at the moment, but if we can borrow more cheaply, then that's advantageous. So I think essentially what we'll look to do is take professional advice in any large or significant purchase to look to see what is the actual best mix of borrowing or use of internal funds at a point in time. So I think what this says is what this says, and it reflects in broad terms what's in the investment strategy, which forms part of the capital strategy, is a statement of intent that we will set up this fund. So that 10 million will be what we'll be looking to spend in terms of acquisitions, but how that will be financed would be a matter for the timing and the advice we would take at the time. I don't
think and again, I would suggest in the budget process, it won't happen today, but if we're here in a year's time with a similar makeup of this budget panel, we need to just make sure we reflect back and that what we think is going to happen happens, and we keep again a beady eye on it just to make sure that we're comfortable. I'd raised an issue for those when the Treasury strategy was created. Is that the right term, the new Treasury strategy from March? Is that the right document?
There is a new requirement, so there is now a capital strategy which includes investments and Treasury. So the Treasury the
capital management strategy.
Yeah, so the idea of the capital strategy, it brings together the proposed investments in assets and how those are going to be financed and how we deal with our Treasury and our balances all in one sort of overarching document.
I know it's not our intent, but I raised the issue then because the document did set a different environment for us to make sure that we don't borrow, purchase and borrow against the purchase. My corporate vernacular that we're double dipping the same money, and I was reassured at the time that's certainly not our intent, but again it's incumbent on us to keep an eye on that situation to make sure that we don't get ourselves in that situation, and I'm sure we won't, but it's right that we are on it and just make sure we keep an eye on that.
On that very note, you're right, it isn't intended to do that, but there are various parameters when you come through on